title of this thing? No title again?
And I did lonely be a little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Ooh.
Okay. I had to play that whole song. It was longer than I thought it'd be, but boy, oh boy, that's just another treat from, from the my DJ, my AI DJ on my Spotify account. I just love the variety I'm getting. I wanted to say something. Anyway, welcome to Dixon Jane's podcast number 989. A panandromic wonder! In honor of Anthony Marco. If he's still fast-forward listening, he would have zipped right through that song. Anyway, I'm here at Thompson Park. I've just done a very long walk. I'm glad to be sitting again and my legs recovering, but it was good. I just, there was a point in the walk when I stopped sitting in my chair and I just laughed. And laugh is a good thing. And I think I'm going to circle back to that a little later, but let's get this tune out of the way too. That was by it was called Avant Gardener. And I love that title, by Courtney Barnett. And the thing is, I don't know. I've never heard anything, to my knowledge anyway, by Courtney Barnett. And that's just another one of these surprises. What I was reflecting on during my walk is before Christmas, 6 months ago, any other time when I was doing these long walks, but although I wasn't doing as many before I got my iWatch, I used to just listen to my own songs on shuffle, and I talked about it many times on this podcast, how great it was, because I had so much stuff, including a lot by, the Dean brothers, Gene and Dean, of stuff, and me saying, wow, this is just so great, because they're all my songs, they're on shuffle, and sometimes it seems like I haven't even heard that song, and that's quite possible, and it was the best thing possible. And now that I'm not listening to my own tunes, that I'm listening on Spotify, thanks to my son Daniel getting me a Spotify account, getting us Spotify accounts, and my son Kenji for getting me the iWatch, I'm listening to music I don't know and don't have control over, and it's perfect. The point being, what was true then, when it was only my own music that I wanted to listen to from my personal library, that was the best thing possible. That was the truth then. And now, not listening to those songs, my own songs, but listening to what Spotify has to offer me is the best things possible. So those are like contradictions and yet both true. And maybe that's just a little point about life. Things change. It's like we were fine for all the years we lived in our house. It's going to be 30 years now. We never had a pet. The boys had hamsters when they were young. And they would say, well, you should get a dog, so it'd make you go walking and so on. And I pushed back. No, I know I'll be the one responsible for the dog. I never got one. And then one day, out of the blue, this cat, the one we called Yuki and Shiro-chan, found me, basically, on the back deck and came up, climbed up on my lap, and has been with us ever since. And that is just perfect. Here's the problem, you see. I've got so much I want to say. It's like all the toothpaste coming out of the tube at the same time. Ah, God, we got a mess here. Too many words. Where do you put them all? It's just like I lose control because, oh, man. I want to say this and this and this connects to this and all these things are related somehow and they all have a point and we get a bit of a jumble and it makes it much harder for you, the poor listener, to stay with me and hang on. Hey, come on, just hang on to my coattails. Just go with me, man. Go with me. You'll get there. Here. Yeah. So, Now, let's see. We've dealt with a cat. We've dealt with me laughing out of the blue. I'm going to circle back to that one again because there's a reason for that. We've done the music. We've done how grateful I am to have this randomized choice of songs that come up, and you just heard one of them. That's all good. That's all good. So let's get on. Let's get on to the notes. I don't have a title for this podcast yet because we won't know, or this episode, we won't know until I get to the end. Hey, what was it about anyway? What were you getting at? I do have some notes I'd like to share, but let me just take a breath. Like, isn't that song, remember, she was trying to get her breath. Like, I'm having trouble breathing in. And what I have to do is learn to, okay, Ken, you don't have to get it all out of the tube all at once, you know? You can just sort of slow down, man. Slow down. Learn to slow down. Take it easy. There's no rush. There's no urgency. You got all the time you need. Just, chill a bit. Just breathe in. The walk is so good. And even on days when I think, oh, I don't know, it's cold today. Well, put on your winter coat, put on a scarf, bring that warm winter hat. You know, the little flat one that I'm wearing now. Yeah, you'll be fine. And sure enough, I was. And what an enjoyable walk. I've got this route that takes me right out of Thompson Park and along this Meadow Way trail under the hydro poles. And by God, it's a good walk. So that's what we've done. Now I'm back in my car. I've got one more thing left to do today, and that is to buy a chicken for supper, and maybe a few other things if I remember. I've got a list with me. But I've got a few things to... I got notes to share. You know I always have notes to share. They're coming from that book by Eckhart Tolle. I like to call him Tolle, but it might be just Tolle. Awakening to Your Life's Purpose. And I like to say, I'm fond of saying and telling you, sharing with you, hey, I have awakened. I mean, I've gone back to sleep right after, but I have awakened at various points in my life. And that little bit of laughter today when I was stopped at a certain point in the trail, when, okay, I need a break now. I'm just going to sit here comfortably leaning back in my stroller, you know, the locks on, and just suddenly, and I started laughing. And I laughed simply for the joy of the moment. I am awake right now. I'm feeling so good sitting in the stroller. I feel good that I have a backrest. I feel good that my legs were crossed. One foot was on the ground. I had done a good portion of the walk. I just felt good in that moment. And it brought that little bit of joy, that little bit of happiness, which is what this book is about. And it was wonderful. And the laughter came from me recognizing that. And then, of course, the trouble is you get back into the words, and then I start thinking of the words I'm going to share to tell this story to you. And we're into the words. And the words is what this is. This podcast is all about. It's these words that I'm putting out there that may or may not touch you, move you, arouse your curiosity or get you thinking or just pass your time away. And that's good enough. If this does nothing more than pass your time away and take you away from something worse, well, good. But for me, it still is trying to share a message. So we're going to get back to Mr. Tolle a little bit, but a couple of things I want to share. I had a wonderful weekend. I drove, my wife and I drove, Naoko and I drove, Naoko and I, to Kingston once again to spend Saturday and part of Sunday with our dear friends Alvin and Brady. I've talked about them before. They've come up a few times on this podcast. Alvin is the person who I traveled to Mexico with, who got us looking for the hongos, those special mushrooms, and sure enough, we found them, and we did them. Holy moly, was that a good time. And I'm ever grateful for that, but Alvin is the traveler. Alvin is 81. He hasn't changed. And that's the funny thing about Alvin that I tease him about. He is a creature of habit. And we stay over on the Saturday night, and we have breakfast with Brady. Makes an absolutely fabulous pan of scrambled eggs. And there's always other things, and coffee, pot of coffee. And Alvin has the same thing every single day of his life. It's a yogurt that he's made, a yogurt culture, and he keeps it fresh. And it's very good. It's very pure. That's his yogurt. So Alvin has his yogurt, and he puts in some cereal grains in there and some blueberries. He has tea. He doesn't go near the coffee. He has tea, English tea. And he has toast and this, is it Robertson's maybe? This silver shred marmalade from England on his toast. And that's it. And that's every day of the year, except for Saturday. And every Saturday, Alvin and Brady go out to a little restaurant in Kingston and meet the same friends and order the same breakfast every single Saturday. And to me, this is, oh my God, this is bordering on insanity. And Nalco reminds me, no, you know, you think it's strange because I need change all the time. And most of the friends I've palled up with through podcasting and other ways are a little eccentric in some ways. And I guess you could call Alvin eccentric. But they may need change. I don't know. It just strikes me as, oh my God. This could be a Kafkaesque nightmare, but it's not for Alvin, and it's just, no, this is what he likes. He knows what he likes. Why fuss about and do something that you may or may not like? But anyway, that's just a little bit of an insight, a little window into their world. They have two daughters. The eldest one is, I think she's just turning 40, so a little bit older than our boys, but not too much. And we have two boys. And so one of the conversations we always have is on just parenting, about our children, about parenting. And because they're such dear, close friends for, oh, so many years, well, Alvin back early 70s, so that's, what, 50 years again, We just open and enjoy conversation about the world situation, about all kinds of things. And Brady is just this open, loving, kind person who just gives. And I always give her a hug and I tell her, you know, you are this thing I'm trying to be. This spirit of love and generosity, just in her way. You know, She's a little bit Hindu, a little bit Buddhist, but just mainly a lot kind. And they both are. They're both wonderful, kind people. So just an absolutely delightful weekend. Out again to the same Cambodian restaurant for a meal with these other mutual friends. And yeah, so that's something I did. And no reason to really share that with you other than, you know, so that you know that, hey, there's change in our life, too. It isn't just Ken every day of the week going to the park and having a walk and talking about it. Yeah, there's more. So one of the things here, there's a little quote I got from Anais Nin. Here it is. Each friend represents a world in us, a world possibly not born until they arrive. And it is only by this meeting that a new world is born. Now, this doesn't apply to acquaintances, and this doesn't necessarily apply to workmates, but this is when you have a friend. It opens a completely different part of you, depending on that friend, right? Each friend, it just brings out. And I've known this for a very long time. A mutual friend, Robin, in fact, who was up here this fall, shared that with me decades ago, back when we were going to Sir George Williams University in Montreal. So we're talking really far back. This is the girl I met in last year of high school, the woman, about we're multifaceted. And each friend you meet is also multifaceted, and so you connect on two different interfaces, you know, as you turn, and oh, this one brings out this, and this one brings out this, and together you have this world, as Anais Nin refers to it as, you know, this whole new world that wouldn't exist without you having that relationship with that other person. And so that friendship with Alvin and Brady, for both of us, because for my wife, Naoko, she has this same sort of exchange with both of them, and it's just a wonderful thing we share. And it's very rare for, well, maybe it's not so rare, depends on who you are, but for couples to like both the people in a marriage equally in a friendship, very often it's, you know, I like the husband and the wife I'm not crazy about, or vice versa, you know, it's not just one thing. But it's awfully nice when it's mutual. Okay, so we'll just park that. And there is ultimately no such thing as your life, since you and life are not two, but one. Ooh, I like that. Do you want me to repeat it? Of course you do. There is ultimately no such thing as your life, since you and life are not two, but one. Oh boy, I like that. And again, this is probably directly from this book. So there's going to be a couple more. So that's where we're going to go today. We're going to do a little bit from the Eckhart Tolle. And I want to share some of these things with you because they mean a lot to me. And yeah, I've restarted this book from the beginning. Here's one. You may question, ultimately, nothing happens that is not meant to happen. Now, I know that to be true. And I'm sure, 22 minutes, oh, come on, that's not possible. Have we been talking that long? Oh, sorry, but I'm nowhere near stopping. This is going to be a long one, boys and girls. Maybe this will just be a single all-in-one, put it out there. Gosh. Ultimately, nothing happens that is not meant to happen, which is to say, nothing happens that is not part of the greater whole and its purpose. Ooh, ooh, we get the word purpose in there. Ooh, that raises some questions, doesn't it? It is not we who create, but universal intelligence that creates through us. And you see, that's something else. These are things that I buy into. It is not we who create, because this we and things, oh, look what I did, look what I made. But they're suggesting there's some other force that is expressed through you, right? It's not we who create, but universal intelligence. Ooh, you got to buy into that too, do you? I do. That creates through us. Here's a good one. I got a whole bunch, and I'm just going to keep going on them because they're all the things that I want to share. The stronger the ego, the stronger the sense of separateness between people. The only actions that do not cause opposing reactions are those that are aimed at the good of all. Oh, so those are quite separate statements. I'm sorry. I should have had a space between those two damn things. Let's go back to the first one. The stronger the ego, the stronger the sense of separateness between people. Yes, indeed. And, of course, the trick, secret about this book is getting rid of the ego. And one of the things that he keeps emphasizing, and I'm probably going to find a quote that will get this point across, which relates to this podcast, is the use of words, these false constructions. In fact, I'm going to get to that very soon. Boy, there's just so many. Oh, my gosh. I know if I just keep reading these, you're going to tune out. Oh, my God. It's not what you do, but how you do what you do determines whether you are fulfilling your destiny. It's how you do it, not what you do it. Okay. Oh, gosh. I know. I'm buying for time here because there's just too much to digest. The brain is not okay. The human brain is a highly differentiated form through which consciousness enters this dimension. It's the dimension we're in now. Oh my God. That's just too much, isn't it? The human brain is a highly differentiated form. We're talking about forms, things in the universe, things through which consciousness enters this dimension. Okay, the consciousness comes through the human brain. We know that. Yeah, that's true. The brain does not create consciousness. Ah, there's the kicker. The brain does not create consciousness. But consciousness created the brain, the most complex physical form on Earth, for its expression. Consciousness needs something to express itself through this process of evolution. This intelligence has created the brain. And you see, the thing is, I do believe that, and I do feel I understand that. And it is like this, yes, this universal consciousness, this awareness that exists. And is this awareness that's out there, and we are just one other way. And if you go with that, then you have to go with throughout the universe, there's other forms of expression of this consciousness from other life forms, from other maybe much more highly involved intelligences. So let's just, I'm just putting these things out. You pick and choose if you want. If you don't want it, you know, good. Who cares? Well, I'm sorry. That doesn't sound very nice, does it? I've got to learn to be nicer, Ken, on the podcast. Be nicer to your listeners. If they're not ready for this, that's fine. Any book you pick up and read. But the thing is, now I'll get back to me. I picked up this book for 25 cents. It resonates. It's the time for me to read this book. Somebody didn't tell me to. I just thought, oh, that could be interesting. Why? Well, because I got stoned one day and I walked a little further and I walked through the entranceway to this Birkdale Community Center and started chair yoga, shuffleboard, and picking up books they have. Oh, my God. Now, that may seem a stretch, but the fact is I am receptive. I am open to things, and being receptive, as opposed to being closed and holding firm and not ready to receive and putting up barriers and being afraid and being too defensive, all these things fuck you up and don't allow you to receive. And this is the story of that cat that I just related. And we're going, and these things connect, boys and girls. All these things are connecting. That cat came to me because I was open to that cat. That cat knew that. That cat knew that. Boy, that'd be a good title. That cat knew that. And the cat could be me, you know. Hey, yeah, I knew that, man. I knew that. I knew what's going on. So I had a little bit of an argument with my wife because she said you're lucky. And on this podcast, the very last podcast, previous episode, I was saying I'm lucky. But today I'm telling myself, no, I'm not lucky. It's not luck. There is no such thing as luck. But it is a case that good things can happen to you. Maybe Anthony Marco feels this, may not express it this way. For example, suddenly, from being single man all his life and quite content in that life form, suddenly he's married with an instant family of what, six daughters, five, six daughters? You know? All at once? Holy moly, wow, that's a change. And he was open to that at that time, as was the woman who married him. And it happened, and it's quite magical, wow. Being open is how you can receive, and good things can come your way. Okay, all right. Now, I think I've got to go back to start of the day? No, skip that. Skip that. That's all bad news. That's all the horror of the 21st century. If you want something, if you're the kind, there is a show called on Netflix called Turning Point the bomb and the Cold War, and it's a realistic look at the 20th century, and it's a pretty dark history, but I shouldn't have said that. At the time, I thought I shouldn't have watched it, but I still have to watch it. You've got to be a realist. You've got to still acknowledge the world around you is not anywhere near awakening or wants to, that we're still in the kill zone. Okay. Let's get back to the words. This is a quote that I sent off to my group today. I mean, you know, the men's group that I meet once a month on a Tuesday. And I thought I've just got to share this as you know, something to see if it touches somebody else. The same thing, the same way I'm doing, sharing this with you, the listener, that maybe it'll touch you. Maybe it'll spark your interest. Maybe you'll want to go and pick up, oh, I got a copy of The Power for now. Maybe I should read that again. You know? So this one. Everything. A bird, a tree, even a simple stone, and certainly a human being, is ultimately unknowable. Okay? Everything is unknowable. And by that they mean, this is because it has unfathomable depth. Unfathomable depth. All we can perceive, experience, think about, is a surface layer of reality, a surface layer of reality, less than the tip of an iceberg. Underneath the surface appearance, everything is not only connected with everything else, but also with the source of all life out of which it came. Okay. So that is seeing. Everything is unknown. You just can't know. Things seem simple, but what do you know about it? And again, I'll go back to an acid trip, staring at a leaf quivering, you know, on a tree, and feeling the life cursing through that living thing, blowing in the breeze. And I felt it's alive, the same way I'm alive. Now that's good acid, and that was a pretty powerful trip. That's when Glenn and I walked to Dorval Airport with our bags of donut from Mr. Donut at Dorval and walked to the airport and walked in at 3 a.m. at a time when, the RCMP was watching us but didn't seem to care too much. You know, a couple of stoners, and we looked like hippies, probably wearing striped pants and, I mean, carrying bags of donuts, walking into Dorval Airport. There's no flights at 3:30 a.m. What the fuck? Nobody bothered us, you know. We were tripping. But anyway, afterwards, came out, got to a little park, abandoned railway cars. Holy shit, was that a trip. And saw that leaf and felt the life in that and realized the connection between that living thing. I knew it was alive. Now, usually it's just a leaf. Oh, look, there's a leaf blowing in the wind. No. So I got, through acid, thank you, a little bit of that, a little bit of the depth that this thing is saying. You can't know, but it's there, you know, under the surface appearance. Everything is not only connected with everything else, but also with the source of all life out of which it came. Okay. So again, there's that universal all life type thing. Let me just see. There's one more. All right, here, and this one. And I may end here. We're gone on for 35 minutes already. Jesus. Reality is a unified whole, but thought cuts it up into fragments. So let's do that again. And it's these words. Like, I'm trying to express something. I'm trying to actually share something with you. But I can only do it through words, and you can only do it through listening and processing these words. And that may get us absolutely fucking nowhere. All you hear is, oh my God, Scarborough dude blabbing again. Jesus Christ, I'll be blabbing. That guy reaches 1,000 and stops. Okay? Reality is a unified whole, but thought cuts it up into fragments. In other words, we can't see the unified whole, because our, these words that we use, these thoughts, these ideas, these words that take up all our consciousness, break it for us. Only the whole is true, but the whole cannot be spoken or thought. Seen from beyond the limitations of thinking, and therefore incomprehensible to the human mind, everything is happening now. All that ever has been or will be is now. Outside of time, which is a mental construct. Gosh, I'd like to repeat that. Would you forgive me if I repeat that? Reality is a unified whole, but thought cuts it up into fragments. Got that part? That's important. Thought cuts it up into fragments. Only the whole is true, but the whole cannot be spoken or thought. Thought doesn't capture the whole. It can't be spoken. It can't be grasped. Seen from beyond the limitations of thinking, if you could be seen from beyond the limitations of thinking, and therefore incomprehensible to the human mind, the human mind can't do that. Everything is happening now. That is the truth. And that I know. And that is also a state I have reached, sitting on a park bench, just for that briefest passing moment, aware of this is now. Oh, it's gone. But you're just feeling it, holding it, sensing it, knowing it, just for that fraction of time. To know I'm alive and I exist in this thing now. And it's just like that bar of soap, you know, you just can't hold it. All that ever has been or will be. Oh, now this is the part where it just says, no. Okay, the message is there is only now. Now you're thinking, well, that doesn't make sense, because I'm listening to this, you know, 2 weeks after Scarborough Dude recorded that damn thing, and this is my now. Yeah, but that's your now then. Or it is your now, your now. This is my now, but this now is going to be gone and put out and sent out into cyberspace. And it won't even exist until, or if, somebody downloads it and they go. My now is sitting here in my basement, a little bit bored, listening to Scarborough Dude garble on. Okay. All that ever has been or will be is now. Nothing else exists. There is no past. There is no future. I know that to be true. All right. I think I've probably stretched your limits. But there's always this hope. Oh my God, I hope this touches somebody. It just prompts somebody to, never mind what I'm telling you, but to go out and see for yourself, to try and understand for yourself. Can I get what this guy is trying to tell us? Can I grasp? Do I believe that? There's only now, there is no past, there is no future? Do I know what that means? Because that's what I'm trying to share. The universe is only gradually becoming conscious. Well, how do you know that? The universe is only gradually becoming conscious. Consciousness itself is timeless and therefore does not evolve. It was never born and does not die. Okay, I think we're just going to park that one. That's a little too hard. That's a little bit, whoa, all right, you think you know it all, buddy? Try this one. The universe is only gradually becoming conscious. Consciousness itself is timeless and therefore does not evolve. It was never born and does not die. Who? Yeah, sure. All right. Consciousness is the intelligence. I'm just going to motor on. I'm sorry. I'm just going to motor on. I think I might just put out this might be a one shot. Consciousness is the intelligence, the organizing principle behind the arising of form. Form being every matter, everything in space, everything that exists, right? Consciousness is the intelligence, the organizing principle behind the arising of form. Consciousness has been preparing forms for millions of years so that it can express itself through them in the manifested. Consciousness created everything so that it could express itself through the things it created. Whoa. Now, you know, I held that for a minute, for a second. I understood that. Yes. No argument there. The human form was created for this higher purpose, and millions of other forms prepared the ground for it. Okay. The human form, maybe we'll end with this one because it's a good one. The human form was created for this higher purpose, a purpose of expressing consciousness, right? The human form was created for this higher purpose, and millions of other life forms prepared the ground for it. That is the arising of the planets, the sea, the water, the vapors, the chemicals, the things, the life, different life forms. Eventually to get us to this point, and finally we got to this point so that we can express this consciousness. And I do buy into that. Okay, is that a good one to end on? On our planet, the human ego represents the final stage of universal sleep, the identification of consciousness with form. It was a necessary stage in the evolution of consciousness. No. There's so much more you need to put into that one. All right. 42 minutes. I think this is going to be just one single episode. Can I do that? Am I allowed to do that? I think so. I almost should bracket this with another song. Could I do that? Can we do that? I don't even know if this thing is recording or playing or is this thing on. Let's just see, because that'd be a nice bracket, wouldn't it?
It's just me. Then I proceeded to brush some stranger's teeth, but they were my teeth, and I was weightless, just quivering like some leaf come in the window of a restroom. I couldn't tell you what the hell it was supposed to mean, but it was a Monday, no Tuesday, no Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Then Saturday came around, and I said, who's this stupid clown blocking the bathroom sink? Just like all I want is to just have fun, live my life like a son of a gun. I could be 1,000 miles away, but still mean what I say. Then I woke up one morning, didn't recognize the man in the mirror. Then I laughed and I said, oh silly me, that's just me. Then I proceeded to not comb some stranger's hair, never was my style. But I couldn't tell you what the hell it was supposed to mean, cause it was a Monday, no Tuesday, no Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Then Saturday came around and I said, who's this stupid clown blocking the bathroom sink? Sporting all my clothes, I gotta say, pretty pimpin'. thousand miles away while still standing in front of your face.
Just a little bit. That came on while my walk was in progress, and it just made me laugh. It was just so funny. I thought, I've got to use this to introduce this this last clip. 12 minutes left, and I'm at Rosetta McLean Gardens. I had a great long walk. I exited the park right away and just headed west along the roads that follow the lake shore here. And I got to the very foot of Birch Mount, turned around and came back. There are wonderful little cottage-type homes all along the waterfront here, right high up on the bluffs, you know. It's wonderful. So it's one of those days when I just got up and thought, where are you going to go for a walk today after dropping Dan off? And I thought, oh, I haven't been in Rosetta McLean's for a long time. And great, Kingston Road. I got to stop at the LCBO because my wife finished off my bottle of red wine when she made the stew this morning. So got to top up on that. And we finished the Guinness last night, sharing that while watching Coronation Street. So anyway, all is well. And I guess I wanted to get that across. I don't know. I suppose it could sound like I'm almost crazy on these last few podcasts, but I am just genuinely happy. Like, I feel good. I feel physically, I feel so healthy. This walking has been a miracle cure. Like, I really feel fit. I mean, I'm not. Put me on a treadmill and I'd die. But I just, it's the walking every day, getting in almost 4 kilometers a day. and a happiness with, I swear, this turnaround for me by listening to Spotify and letting the AI DJ, my friend, play the music for me, including this crazy song. It's just been so much fun. And like, wow, oh yeah, hey, that's neat. Oh, I haven't heard that for a long time. Oh, I don't know that one. It's just been great. So I am saluting, and I never thought I would say anything like this, Spotify. I know it's a dirty word for a lot of people, and artists included, but my God, what a treat for motivating you to just keep on walking. Just keep going, keep going, keep going, you know? Now, a question. Luck. I've always told everybody, and like right up until recently, I was born lucky. I'm just a lucky guy. I have good luck. And now, perhaps a little bit after reading the Eckhart Tolle book, I don't believe in luck. I mean, it's a ridiculous concept. No, it's not luck, you know. I watched an episode of Mayday, and there was a plane going down. The pilot, co-pilot, could not get control of the plane, and it was heading straight into the water, all passengers. And it was literally 10 seconds away from sudden impact, death for all. And at that critical time of 10 seconds, the autopilot stopped, ended. They didn't know autopilot was on. And the autopilot ended, and they were able to maintain control and or get control and get the airplane up and flying and landing at another airport. That wasn't luck. Everybody said, my God, they were lucky. But it wasn't. It was just the physical reality of them wrestling with the controls, and then at a certain point, for whatever reason, technical reason, which they could find exactly, and they did, the autopilot stopped at that particular point just in time. Had it gone for another 10 seconds, they all would have been dead. And they may never have found out the story. But anyway, the people who were late going into the office on the day of 9/11 and were saved, you know, those who did go in that day when they normally wouldn't have at that time or whatever, and you say, oh, well, I had bad luck. It is a ridiculous concept. So I'm abandoning luck altogether, but I'd like to know what anybody else thinks about that idea of luck. And what I have to do now is find, okay, a better explanation, because I can't say I'm lucky. Like, how did things work out? How did I arrive in Toronto at the bottom of the housing market? How did I find that apartment when I didn't have any key money? I didn't have the money to get a place because they demand 6 months in advance, and happened to see the one ad the day it's posted for. No, it's owned by a pilot. No, I don't need that key money stuff. And here, I have 4 dozen beer and assorted alcohol and 12 steaks on me. Like, whoa, how did I get that particular job? You know, and okay, well, I had the papers. I had come back from Nigeria. Anyway, I've told that story, but it's just, I used to account that to luck, and it's not luck, it's timing, but how does the timing work, you know? Another point, I feel there are little things that I get so excited about, and there's a little part of me that's just a little bit embarrassed about it, like, you know, a happy song or something. Something minor, like the decision to wake up and say, oh, I don't have to go to my regular park. I can go to Rosetta McLean. And feeling a little bit of joy about that. That, oh, I have this freedom and this choice and it works out. And a lot of just inconsequential things I make a big deal out of. But the thing is, it keeps me happy. And maybe that's not such a bad thing, you know? That I shouldn't be embarrassed about it. I can't even think of examples right now. But, I just have moments of joy in the day. I look at my sunglass collection. 3 pairs of sunglass, totaling about $13 from, you know, recycle shops. I love them all. And it just, wow, that's neat. By the way, I did order a pair of... Maybe I told you. No, I didn't. hearing aids. I went for the $100 mark. And because, you know, when you click an interest, okay, get another $15 if you order now. All right, I'll take that, $85. That's better. And then, as soon as you go to place your order, would you like to upgrade for the new chip? Would you like to get the guarantee? Would you like the warranty? Would you like to get... And they just hit you question after question. And yeah, you just go, nope. And then you get, so I'm going to get a pair of hearing aids. I have no idea whether they'll work or fit my ears or anything else, but I just figured it was worth a try. Meanwhile, the hearing buds, the earbuds I have for listening to my music, oh, they just work perfectly. So that kind of hearing isn't a problem. It's in a group situation. okay, 4 minutes left. A quote I posted, shared with people on my, was it Instagram account? I guess so, yeah. Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. Isn't that a great one? Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. I love that one. That's by a person called Howard Thurman, who was a black preacher from, you know, descendant of slaves. And he preached the philosophy of common ground, which taught that humans need to seek an inner spiritual happiness that would lead them to share their experience in community with others. So each human is obliged to search. And maybe that's what I'm doing, you know, looking for this inner, the little things that make me happy inside. And hopefully I can share that somehow. I don't know that I'm doing a good job sharing it here, because there seems to be a lot of yelling and silliness on this podcast. But believe me, I got a lot of happiness inside me. I think at the beginning I called, when I talked about this episode number 989, I called it a palindromic wonder. When I meant to say palindromic wonder. So just, you know, that slipped out and I heard it and I'm correcting myself. Turning Point, The Bomb in the Cold War. My God, it's worth watching, but it just shows the horror. When you look at Stalin, 4 million died of starvation in Ukraine by his policies, like taking the land and then just mismanaging and not having enough food and not caring that the peasants die. Millions sent to gulags throughout the country. Especially anybody who was threatening to him at all, like academics, people, you know, bright people, slave labor, and it makes you think of the Pol Pot. Anybody wearing glasses is dangerous, you know, they might be thinkers. The horrendous things, and I can't end on that, no, but the horrendous things that mankind has been doing for throughout history, and will we ever reach the point? Here's a close, maybe to open it up a bit or end on a happier note. The closer we get to the end of our present evolutionary stage, the more dysfunctional the ego becomes, in the same way that a caterpillar becomes dysfunctional just before it transforms into a butterfly. But the consciousness is arising, even as the old dissolves. So that's holding out a little hope that maybe through all this horror, this will get behind us. There will be an awakening and humans will not have to go through the end of time. All right, I'm going to end on that note because I've run out of time. So this is the Scarborough Dude. I'll be back. We're not done yet, and I hope you're okay out there, and I hope there's something some of you get from listening to this podcast. Bye for now. Oh, where's the bell? Where's the bell? Where the hell's the bell? Right here.